and burgundy breeches as he nestled comfortably in the hay. Her tail curled up and down, and she looked around the old barn, thinking.
"He needs to get up,"
Kate muttered with a frown.
"We don't want to get caught here after how far we've come. We're almost there."
"Do you know what the local Bayonne peasants did in the mid-17th century when conflicts arose with the Spanish and they ran low on gunpowder and projectiles?"
Liz asked, walking over to a bench with tools. Kate cocked her head.
"No, Liz. You know, I enjoy your history lectures, but I don't think this be the time.
They simply attached long hunting knives to the barrels of their muskets, and voila, they had makeshift spears."
Liz continued, ignoring Kate's comment. She picked up a small iron spike and turned, wearing a big grin.
"And you know what the peasants of Bayonne calls them?"
Kate sighed.
No, lass. Come, mon ami, think,"
Liz encouraged her excitedly.
"C'est simple."
She walked over to Lafayette and held the spike close to his backside. Kate's eyes widened as she saw Liz lift the spike in the air.
"Bayonets!"
"Oui, which is the point of this lecture,"
Liz answered gleefully, poking the spike into Lafayette's behind, causing him to bolt upright and shout as she darted behind a barrel. Lafayette frowned and rubbed his backside, looking around him. He saw no one, only the sun now pouring into the barn and the hay scattered about. All he heard was the rooster crowing in the distance and his brown horse in the far stall, seemingly snickering at him. The young man shook his head, his red hair mussed and dangling around his shoulders. He felt around the hay, and his hand landed on an iron spike.
"Ah, I must have rolled over on this."
He chuckled, tossed it back into the hay, and stretched out his arms and back, trying to come to life. Kate stepped outside the barn because she heard something that Lafayette didn't yet hear. The sound of a swift pair of horses galloping up the road. Alarmed, she ran to the hedge and spotted what she hoped she would not see. It was Fumel's men.
"It's them!"
she barked, alerting Liz.
"They followed us here!"
Lafayette heard a dog barking and hurriedly slipped on his boots. He walked over to peek out of the barn and spotted the two horsemen as they passed by. He withdrew into the barn, his heart racing as he leaned his back against the old wooden door.
"They've followed us here!"
The 19-year-old quickly put on his long charcoal coat and three-cornered hat and ran to the stall to grab the horse by the reins.
"Shh! We must be quiet, Chabal."
He gently rubbed the horse's neck and led him to the entrance of the barn. He mounted the horse and looked both ways. No sign of the horseman. He exhaled and directed the horse onward. Once he got to the road, he frowned.
"We cannot meet Mavois and the coach back at the inn as planned. Fumel's men will surely be there," he muttered to his horse. "He will have to figure it out and meet me at San Sebastian."
He patted the horse on the neck.
"I know you were tired from our long journey yesterday, Cheval, but I need for you to run a bit longer as fast as you can."
The horse whinnied, as if protesting the coming ride. Lafayette clicked his tongue, squeezed his legs tight, and hoarsely whispered,
"Allons-y!"
Liz ran out to meet Kate, and they watched the Marquis de Lafayette gallop away from Bayonne.
"We must get to Clary and the coach to let her know he has gone on ahead."
Together, the two friends ran down the dirt path to the town center to find their friend. The sun was high overhead now, and Lafayette kept looking behind him as he rode his horse hard and fast toward San Sebastian. It was 28 miles from Bayonne to reach the port city where his ship awaited him. It had been 3 weeks since he left La Victoire in the care of General DeKalb and the shipload of officers waiting for him to sail to America. After all he had overcome to reach this point, he could not afford to be apprehended by those police officers. They were only following orders, but the orders they followed were to arrest the outlaw, and they were issued by none other than King Louis XVI of France. The gravity of his escape weighed heavily on his mind, spurring him on to escape arrest, to escape the king, to escape his father-in-law, and to escape a meaningless existence at the court of Versailles. If he could finally make this one great escape, he would not only win liberty